life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. Then things change and you're down in the valley. But don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. Talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valleys of those trials and temptations, well, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that you make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the valley. God of the day is still God in the night. God of the day is still God in the night.
Wow.
God of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Is still God in the night.
What a song. What a song. I hope you like that as good as I do. God of the mountain, He's still God in the valley. Woo! What a life we have in Christ. Without Christ, we would be of all men most miserable. I want to say just a very thanks to the Billy Graham family for the wonderful job they did in planning Billy Graham's funeral service. It was, you know, to be on the world stage, it was the first time I really heard the gospel given and an invitation for sinners to be saved. It's so needful. It is so needful. And my heart cries out to it. Now, the music of that funeral was my kind of music. Now, one song I didn't really know, and I don't remember nothing about it, so I can't judge it. But I know that first song was just beautiful. My wife used to sing that, and I love that one line in that song that is so powerful, so powerful. You know what it says? It says very clearly that we're just about ready to see that new city, that golden city. Well, what a blessing. I hope it was a blessing to you. Now, today, we're going to deal with New Jerusalem, and I want to emphasize the amethyst level. There's 12 levels to the city of New Jerusalem. Every level is 1,500 square miles. I'm going to give you the totality of the square miles in the city of New Jerusalem as this program continues. I don't want you to miss that. I really don't. I want you to get it. I want you to hear it. Now, I want you to call a friend, text it to friends if you on internet. If you're listening by radio, text it. You can text it, of course. If you're listening by Facebook, you can send a an email if you're listening on the internet. And I wish you'd do that. I would like to have 1,000 listeners today, because this subject is overwhelming. The New Jerusalem, the city of New Jerusalem. I went in the songbook. Excuse me. I went in the songbook here in the church earlier today, and I was just looking at some of the songs in our songbook. It's called the King James Songbook. That's our name, though. That's just the name we gave it. But it's a red back hymnal, and it's a great book full of the old-fashioned songs. And listen to this. These were in that book, The Pearly White City. We will never say goodbye. Listen to that. When the roll is called up yonder, when they ring the golden bells. Wow. Listen to that. Where we'll never grow old. Until then was a song they began the funeral service with. And I love the lines, until the day we behold that city. Until the day we behold that city. Well, that was Billy Graham's dream. It's certainly my dream. I hope I can help make it your dream if it isn't already your dream. But nothing is more important than understanding the salvation of souls in Christ and the destiny of a saved individual. The destiny of a person who's been born again, who's been washed in the blood, who's repented of their sins and turned holy to Christ. I loved it when Brother Graham yesterday, the son, of course, Billy Graham, talked about that repent. He used the word repent. Repent of your sins. Man, if you don't repent of your sins, you can't be saved. You can't be saved just believing on him. You got to be born again. And you got to repent of your sins. And the Holy Spirit will absolutely transform you and make a completely new person out of you. And that's what I want to make sure you understand today. You must be born again. And you can be born again. And nobody out there is eliminated. There's no such thing as limited atonement. That is a horrible theology. Absolutely from the devil. I'm here to tell you, friend, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. The Bible said that, you know. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Now, there are many things we can talk about today. Really, there are. There's so much about eternity and about the city of New Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth and the day of that soon appearing. The things that's going to happen between now and then. And there are very few. There's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. There's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign. And then a new heaven and a new earth and eternity with Christ the Lord and God the Father, the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit, and the multitude of angels that were the unfallen angels. And then all the saints of God, all the way back to Adam and Eve, all the saints of God, all the born again, the washed in blood, those that know him, knew him, and those that belong to him. Now, don't forget those songs, the Pearly White City. If your church sings songs that have no biology, see, the only kind of music that's welcome in a real church is Bible music. Music that's full of the Bible. Music that's full of the scripture. That's why we sing. We sing the things of God. We sing the truths of God. We sing the revelations of God. We sing the promises of God. We sing the joys of God. We sing the hopes of God. That's what we sing. If you sing anything else, you're out of order. You're out of order if you sing just old love songs that have no real meaning and no real God in them and no theology in them. My dear friend, your songs must be full of the blood. They must be full of the hope of grace. They must be full of the mercy of God. They must be full of the joys of Christ. They must be full of heaven. They must be full of a little remembrance of hell. They must be full of the hope of his coming. I mean, there's so much of theology to fill songs. Now, why would anybody sing anything else but songs full of theology, full of the Bible? Bible-centered songs. We sing to the Lord. We don't sing to make love in some romantic fashion. We sing to praise Him and honor Him and love Him. Now, I want to talk about New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Can I read first? Let me read a little bit. You'll love this. The book of Revelation is the 21st chapter of Revelation. And I want you to listen to this. And he carried me away. This is John the Revelator. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Listen to this. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy city, New Jerusalem. Showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, he had to take John to a great and high mountain. Because if you're looking at a city that's 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles wide and, of course, 1,500 miles deep, you could not see it if you were standing a mile away, just a little bit of it, you know. But you had to be, he had to be taken up to a high mountain, exceeding high mountain, probably pretty high if you can imagine, exceeding high mountain, and showed him the city, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. So you got to understand that this is the capital of the new heaven and the new earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, for the former things have passed away. There'll be no more sea. It'll be bodies of water to enhance everything, but no great oceans. That means even how much more land will we have in the new heaven and the new earth? Only God knows. He'll make it just as big as he needs to make it. And it will be fully beautiful. And the city of Holy Jerusalem is the capital of the city, the capital of the whole earth, the capital of the whole new heavens and the new earth. And this city is a temple. You understand, it's not just a city, it's a temple. It's a holy dwelling place for God himself. The Father will be on his throne in the middle or the midst of that city, because it will be a temple. Angels will be everywhere. It'll be a place of such honor and glory. The Holy Spirit will fill every corner. Every corner. It will be such a place of magnificence and beauty until it's almost indescribable. And we're going to get into a little of that. And I want you to hear it, because I want you to get your eyes on that city. Get your eyes off of this world, this unclean place. Oh, I know there's pretty things here, but most of them have been corrupted by human flesh and made to be something that they don't represent in the great economy of God. So it will be a temple city in the middle of a new heaven and a new earth. Have you got that? In the middle, the very center, the very capital of the new heaven and the new earth. Not coming through on what? On radio? Well, that's their fault. I can't do a thing about it. I hope they will figure it out. Sometimes there's little problems, and they say it's not coming through on radio. Let me look at this and see. It's all going out of here, and that's all I can do, okay? Can't do a thing but get it out of here, and then I can handle it. I hope they'll take care of it. I want radio to have it. I really do. Listen to me, friends. These kind of things are so important, and they're so mighty, and I love to talk about them. I really do. That God may have the best that's his. And I praise him for all that he means to us. Now, let me tell you that God's throne will be in the middle of this magnificent city. Have you got that? God's throne. The Father will be right there. The Father will be right there. His presence will just invade that whole place. It will be a place of such majesty and such glory. Now, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the light of the city and the light of a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be no need of a sun or of a moon, There will be no need of a sun or a moon. The Lord Jesus himself will be the light. It'll be a different kind of light. It won't be a light beaming from a source. It will beam from him, but it will be a light that just floods the place. There'll be no shadows. There'll be no dark corners. It will be the light of Christ that just inhabits the new heaven and the new earth and the city of New Jerusalem. And that city will be so translucent that the beauty of it will beam through the city and through the walls, and it will gleam in its glory. It will gleam in its glory, and the light of it will just reflect upon the whole new heaven and the whole new earth. The golden streets and the pearl and the jasper walls and all the many beautiful jewels that enhance the city at different levels will make it so breathtaking and so beautiful. Oh, friend, you say, I've been to pretty places. You don't know what pretty places are. I'm sorry. There are some pretty places in this world, and I love them. I love seeing them. I love men. I love people. I love the life that God's given us here. I give it my best. I don't love the worldly part of it. I don't love the sinful part of it, but I love the creative beauty of it. But the creative beauty of this world is so insignificant compared to what we are facing. It's really overwhelming. Now, when you think of the 12 levels, 12 stories, I don't like calling them stories, 12 foundations, that in itself is going to make the city beautiful. Now listen to me as I try to explain the city to you. Are you listening? If you have a question, please pick up your phone and call. You can send an email question, okay? Everybody, you can send an email question if you don't want to call on the telephone. You can call 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I'll put it up for you for just a moment, okay? I want you to write these down. You'll see also the toll-free number, and you see the email at the very bottom, jrc@paulcreek.org. I really want to hear from you. Wherever you are on the face of the earth, whatever country, if you can speak enough English for me to understand you, I would love trying to answer your question. You understand, folks, everybody listening, that this is all over the globe. This is on internet everywhere in the world. This is on Facebook everywhere in the world. If there's no difficulties, of course, technologies can be a puzzle in sometimes. But I promise you that we are sending a message to a host of people. And I love it when we do that. It thrills my heart. Now, please listen to me. I want your questions now. I want to try to answer them as I try to give you a little understanding of this city. It really is a magnificent place, a high and beautiful mountain. Now, let me read you a little bit about the city. Having the glory of God. That's the city. Having the glory of God. Have you ever been in church when the glory of God would fill the church? And it was just like an enhancement of beauty and presence and grace and mercy until you just were overwhelmed. You're almost afraid to speak. I've been in some services like that when it was so absolutely sovereignly and breathtaking that you hardly knew, you didn't want to move lest you would disturb the beauty of his wonderful presence. Well, he said, this city having the glory of God and her light was like unto a stone. Her light was like unto a stone most precious. The light of the city was like unto a stone most precious. It was beaming. It was translucent. It was overwhelming. It overtook. It overtakes people. It just is marvelous. Like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper. Even like a jasper clear as crystal. Even like a jasper clear as crystal. Now, you know what it means by a jasper stone clear as crystal. It means it was translucent. The beauty in the stone was just open. It was opaque. You could see through the beauty of it. And it just, it enhanced everything around it. And had a wall great and high. And had 12 gates, a great wall, great and high. We're talking about 1,500 miles, okay? 1,500 miles, because there's 12 levels of it. 12 different levels as it moved upward, all of them decorated and enhanced with beautiful, beautiful jewels, priceless jewels. Are you listening to me? And there's 12 gates. Can you imagine a gate carved out of a solid pearl? A gate carved out of a solid pearl. And these gates are 1,500 miles high themselves, and they open to the whole of the city. They open to the whole of the city. And the names which are their own were the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, somebody who is anti-Israel, who is anti-Jewish, brother, you're going to be in trouble. Because you're not going to be welcome in that city, in my opinion now. I don't have a Bible verse for that. But you're not going to be welcome in that city. I really believe that. And on the east were three gates, and on the north three gates, and on the west three gates, and on the south three gates. And the walls of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the 12 Old Testament patriarchs are written on the gates, and the 12 apostles are written on the foundations. So that you've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. All the saints of God of all the ages. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Now grab your phone. I want to hear your question, okay? Grab your phone real quick. If you are listening by Facebook, you can go get your phone and call right in here to us. Same number that people with radio are listening to. And I would just love so much to have your calls because you are so important to us. And having you in the middle of the program is very important to me. And answering your questions. The wall of the city, 12 foundations. And he that talked with me had a golden reed. And he measured the city with a golden reed. And found the city. Four square furlongs. Now we know that's 1,500 miles. And the length and the breadth and the height of the city were all the same. The length and the breadth and the height of the city were all the same. 1,500 miles. Now, while we're talking about that, listen to me now. I hope you have questions. I want you on the phones. We've got 40 more minutes, and I've got time for a lot of good calls, and I would like to answer your questions and leave you with an understanding of this city to the best of my ability, to the best of my understanding of the Scripture. Everything has to be by the Bible. Everything has to be by the Bible. We can give little things that may be our opinions, but the actual facts that we want to talk about is that this city is described by the Bible. And the Bible makes it plain. It is 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles high and 12 different foundations. Now, listen to me. Imagine that city. You're talking about each level being 2,250,000 square miles. 2,250,000 square miles each level. Now, I want you to get that real good. 2,250,000 square miles. Now, understand, we're not talking about square feet or square yards. We're talking about square miles. That's a mile square. 2,250,000 square miles on each level. That's each of the 12 levels. And when you multiply that by 12, you've got 27 million square miles. 27 million square miles. Now, I've been studying a little bit about the square miles in America, and I have found that city is equal to approximately seven United States of America. Take America, all the size of the living space of our America, and multiply it seven times, and it then would be about equal with the city of New Jerusalem. So New Jerusalem, seven times the size of the land mass of the United States of America. Do you get that? Including the rivers and the lakes and all the living spaces of America. Seven times the size of America is the living size of the city of New Jerusalem. 27 million square miles. 27 million square miles. Now, when you begin to understand that, that's overwhelming. And think of this city. The streets are paved with gold. That's the whole of the city. That's 27,000 square miles, and every mile, every street in that great city for the saints of God to enjoy will be paved of gold. Now, the walls are jasper. The solid walls are jasper. The bottom level is enhanced with jasper on jasper. So jasper is a stone or a granite that is different colors depending on where they're quarried from, what quarry they came out of. And so you would have jasper on jasper. And then as it goes up the city, the top level is amethyst. So the 12th level will be decorated or enhanced, I like to call it, rather than decorated, enhanced with amethyst. Oh, what beautiful stones. And you've got different stones as you look. And I'm working right now on getting all 12 of them memorized up here, so I can talk about them anywhere I go without having to even look to the Bible. It will all come out of the Bible, but without having to look. I'm telling you, it is overwhelming to think about. It is overwhelming to deal with. Now, you got to understand, it is the bridal city. This city is only for the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, when I say only, that means they are the only ones who have their mansion within the city. Those who live in the city, and it's their dwelling place, just like Charlotte is now my dwelling place. My dwelling place will be in New Jerusalem if I keep the faith and finish the task the Lord has given me and hear Him say, well done, then I believe I will live in the city of New Jerusalem. That's God's determination to make, not mine. And not yours, it's His. And I believe that Billy Graham probably, without a question, will receive an inheritance of that wonderful golden city of New Jerusalem. And I think he should be on the amethyst level. That's kind of where I'd like to be, but that's going to be up to the Lord. I'm going to be happy just to be there. Are you understanding that? And you should be happy just to be there. In fact, anybody who's saved and is anywhere in the city of New Jerusalem and the new earth, the new heavens and the new earth, I like to say it that way, the new heavens and the new earth will be a blessed people. There will be no unhappiness in that whole realm, the realm of God, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all the angels of heaven. Oh, what a place, what a day, what a time that's going to be. Now, we will celebrate our union and our celebration forever in that city. The celebration will never end. The celebration will never end. It will not be a 6-month wedding. It will not be a 12-month wedding. It will be an eternal wedding, an eternal celebration. And we will celebrate the happiness of heaven forever. This city will be so full of life. I like to think of all the choirs that will be singing, and all the great orchestras that will be united and playing music. And I like to think of all the great testimonies that we will hear. And just sitting in front of somebody like Apostle Peter and listening to him for hours. Well, it won't be a measure of time, but listening to him and hear him tell all the plan of God and all the walk he had with God and the joy that he had when the Lord forgave him after he had denied the Lord at the crucifixion, and the Lord let him preach the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. I tell you, we'll all have stories to tell. I'll have some stories to tell. I really will, and I think about them today, and how wonderful the Lord has been to me. I think about the wonderful years with my Juanita, and they were grand, and I'm missing her so bad. It's horrible. I know I must have a sad face a lot of times, but I can't help it because I loved her that much, and we were so happy together. Never a splinter between us, but we will be there forever together. I promise you, and it will be heaven. It will be heaven and heaven and then heaven and then heaven. Now, what will make heaven so wonderful? Can you imagine all the wonderful animals that God has created, that He placed in the Garden of Eden and in the earth when He created it? And it was perfect peace. Every animal was a peaceful animal. Every animal was a friend to every human. It was all just joy, just joy, just blessing, just joy and blessing. Nothing to be sad about, nothing to do anything but rejoice about. about just a heavenly place and a heavenly city, and all the wonder of it are inexpressible and indescribable. Have you got it? Indescribable is all I can say. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. What a Master. And we'll be there together. Animals will be a joy. I promise you. I want a great old big lion that will stay on my front porch and be my welcomer for anybody that comes by to see Joe Chambers. Oh, yes, a big old beautiful lion. I love the lions and I love the tigers. Joey Yates told me he wanted a tiger to be with him. Well, whatever. Our lives will just be so full. But the greatest thing will be Jesus. Nothing will compare to seeing the Lord face to face. I'm going to tell you, when he introduces you to the Father and tells the Father your name, can you imagine the joy of that? Now, I'm almost half through, and all I'm doing is talking, and I love what I'm saying. But I want you to call me now. I want to hear what you've got to say about New Jerusalem. I want to hear some of you who are excited about going and being a part of New Jerusalem. And how happy are you? And are you a soul winner? I have the feeling that one of the requirements for being a part of the bride and being and living in New Jerusalem is that you're a soul winner, that you are out there to win souls. He will give you a mansion as his gift, the bridegroom's gift to the bride. So should the bride not have a gift for the bridegroom? And that should be souls that we won to Christ, men and women that we led to the faith. Men and women that we taught them the dangers of sin and the hope of Christ and led them to faith. If you're not a soul winner, I hope today will stir you until you become a dedicated soul winner, until you start giving yourself to win somebody to Christ. What do you think? Somebody help me. What do you think about every person who inherits New Jerusalem would need to be a soul winner? And that would be the price. That would be the reward of winning souls to Christ. That's the greatest duty you've got as a Christian, is to win somebody else to Christ. If you think he saved you just to go to heaven and not make you a soul winner, I'm sorry, my friend. He saved you to be a soul winner. He saved you to lead others to Christ. That used to be the theme of the church. That used to be the theme of the church. Everybody wanted to be a soul winner. And now you hear almost nothing about being soul winners. And I'm embarrassed that I've not said as much about it, that I've not said enough about it. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of me a few days ago about this business of being a soul winner and about having souls to carry as gifts to the bridegroom at the wedding supper. Oh, yes, I want to be one of those who can go before the great bridegroom without being ashamed of anything I did do or didn't do. I want to be able to be proud of his wonderful grace and all that he's helped me do for him and for his glory. All right, now, grab the phone, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, and then the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. In just a moment, I'm going to go to email and see if I've heard from any of you. I would love to get questions from you. Now, here's the numbers. Had to be careful when I'm looking for this. I hit the wrong thing if I don't be careful. So that's why you see me being a little bit slower. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. And then send me an email, if you would, at jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Let me take a moment and go to the email just in case I've heard from any of you. I would love very much to answer your questions, okay? So call me quickly. I'm taking a moment here to bring up the emails. So in case you have sent one, I may see them and I do not see any. Okay, so if you have a question you want to send me, you feel free to do that. Hadn't been making that available, but I'm doing that again because I think I've got things operating a little better. Okay, give me a call. Would love to hear from you. Would love to hear from you. You are very, very important to me. Okay, so give us a call, 1-800-338-7884. That's 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. And we will give you something. We'll always give you a gift when you call us. I mean, we always give you a gift when we call you, when you call us. We'll give you a copy. Look at that picture. I mean, We'll give you a copy of this booklet. That picture will be on the front of it. And we'll give you a copy. And it's really all about the city of New Jerusalem. It doesn't tell you everything, because everything's too much, but we'll describe all 12 of the jewels that enhance the 12 levels. And that is itself wonderful to read. I read it again this morning and just felt such rejoicing, such happiness, such joy. And I want you to have joy in what lays ahead of us. I really do. I really do. Now, I gave you the size. Have you got that? The size. Each level is 2,250,000 square miles. And the total of that is 27,500,000 square miles. 27,500,000 square miles. So I'm telling you, it's a big city. Remember, I said seven times the size of all the landmass of America is in the city of New Jerusalem. Seven times the size of the landmass of America is equal to the size of the city of New Jerusalem in all 12 levels. And so it will be an enhanced, beautiful place. And that's only the city of New Jerusalem. That's not the new heaven and the new earth. The city of New Jerusalem is the capital of the new heaven and the new earth. And so you can understand what a vast, matchless place for God's people and God himself and his children to enjoy eternity. It will be beyond measure for us to enjoy and to enhance our happiness and our joy. Now, 1-800-338-7884. Are you ready to ask a question? Anybody out there that can say, I want to go? Anybody like me that's hungry to go, that's aching to grow? Oh, I can't wait to go. I'm really excited about it. I really am. I'm 82. Man, I don't have long. I may leave here before today's over. I'm ready to go. You know, I'm ready to go. There's some things I'd like to accomplish. I want to see more of you saved. I want to see more of you saved. There's nothing I want like I want to see sinners come to Christ and to be born again. It really is a wonderful life. Now, it's a bridal city. We'll celebrate it for eternity. It will be full of life. We're talking about happiness beyond measure. We really are. Happiness beyond measure. I cannot begin to tell you how wonderful it will be. Cannot be in the bride if you're not a soul winner. That's my opinion, not some biblical statement, okay? But I think that's very important. Only absolute holiness. There will be no impurity entering that city. Now, I want to tell you something. The city of Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, was never created until after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. Now, I want you to hear this. When Jesus was crucified and resurrected, he earned the redemptive right to create for us an eternal city. He said himself, in John 14:1, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You understand that? So he went to prepare a place for us, and he didn't do that until after he was crucified and resurrected. So the city of New Jerusalem is a redemptive city. Can you get that word? A redemptive city. The devil has never put his feet in the city of New Jerusalem. Not one fallen angel has ever put their feet in the city of New Jerusalem. They haven't even flew through it, because it is absolutely a redemptive city, and nothing can enter that city but that which has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing can enter that city but that which has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say that again. I got a call here. I'm going to take that call. But I want you to hear this. Nothing can enter that city but that which has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I'd like for you to answer a question of why in America they quit singing songs like Our Lord's Return to Earth. I'm waiting in for the coming of the glad millennial day when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his bride away.
Well, you know, the reason the churches have quit singing them, because they don't believe that. There's only one reason you would ever quit singing any of those great old hymns, is if you don't believe them. I had a pastor say to me recently that he asked his choir director to let's sing Amazing Grace, and the choir director looked at him and says, I don't even know that song. He'd been in college in one of these cemeteries. He'd been in one of these 4-year cemeteries, maybe 3-year cemeteries, and all he learned was the mess. Now, I said earlier in this program, no song ought to be sung in any church that's not full of the Bible. It's got to be based squarely on the Bible. It's got to be about the Bible. It's got to be about Jesus. It's got to be about the great doctrines of the Bible. It's got to be a celebration of the Bible and of Jesus Christ, or it should not be sung in the church. And most of the music being sung today just shouldn't be sung in church.
And when you consider that they talk about kingdom now, it's kingdom this and kingdom that. The kingdom of God on earth cannot come until the Jews accept their Messiah.
Does your church say these things?
Tribulation day, so.
Let me ask you a question. Stop just a minute. Does your church say those things? Kingdom now?
I'm sure some of them are. They used to not be.
But why would you continue to go to a church like that? See, I think the problem with America is not the crazy thing these preachers and song directors are doing. It's the fact of people sitting in those churches and putting up with it. And still paying their tithes. And still keeping that church going. I mean, a church that doesn't sing the old gospel songs has no right to be a biblically called church.
I have lived in a place in another state where you couldn't find that much of a church that
okay.
those songs to go to.
I understand what you're saying. Now my heart's hurting for you. My heart's hurting for you. Then what I would do if I was you, I'd get myself involved in a ministry like this ministry. I'd get on the internet and look at the sermons, listen to the sermons. I'd get them sent to me on CDs, and we'd do that, or DVDs. And I'd become part of a church in another city and go as often as I could. But I wouldn't go to one of them dead churches.
Yes.
You agree with me?
Oh, yes. I understand. Yes.
And that's what many people are having to do. More and more people are getting involved with us because we're just an old-fashioned Bible church. And we're not trying to hurt anybody's church. I want to change the preachers. I want to change the churches. I was so thrilled with the music yesterday on the Billy Graham funeral because it was good, solid music.
Yes.
Did you listen to it?
I was saved when I was a boy in a Billy Graham crusade. I was lost.
Oh, boy.
When I was 17, I'm an old man now. If it hadn't been for Billy Graham preaching on Calvary that night, I don't know where I'd be today.
Oh, that's beautiful. See, the only thing will save you is the blood of Jesus. And the world doesn't even know that. They're not. Most preachers don't want you to have an experience. They want you to get religion. If you have an experience, they'll lose you because you won't stay in those dead churches. And most people don't have an experience in Christ. They just got religion. They're just church members. They've been baptized in water. As one preacher said, that you can be baptized in water till the bullfrogs call you brother. You can be baptized in water until the bullfrogs call you brother. And it won't do nothing for you if you haven't been born again.
Yes, yes. Right.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'm glad you called. Now, somebody out there that understands, and you understand what I'm talking about, and you want to know more about the city. You want to know without a question that you're going to go to New Jerusalem. You see, you can live either in New Jerusalem for eternity, or you can live in the cities of the earth, the new heaven and the new earth for eternity. There'll be only two classes of people there. All of them will be saved by the blood. Nobody can get into heaven but saved by the blood. Everybody else will spend eternity in a devil's hell. Everybody not saved by the blood of Jesus, that doesn't trust the cross, that doesn't repent of their sins, doesn't turn to Christ with their whole heart and make him the Lord of their life, cannot spend eternity in heaven. Cannot. That's impossible. If you do not experience being born again, you do not experience being washed in the blood, and then live in his lordship. You can't make him Lord partially. He's got to be Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. Are you understanding that? I'm so concerned that you understand. I'm so concerned. Tuesday night, my visitor, worker, helper, Brother Dylan Beatty, and I went to a home, knocking on doors, of course. We went to maybe 40 homes in the night, 30 to 40. And one of them was a person from Vietnam. They were from Vietnam. They couldn't talk our language. We couldn't talk their language. But we communicated with our hands and with our heart and with our smiles and with our love. And they invited us in the house. We got in the house, and the wife brought us water from her refrigerator. They gave us the biggest old heart welcome, and then we were able to get him to write his name. And my youth minister has been putting together him a sermon in the language of Vietnam to send to him on his text. And we'll hope to have that done by next week. And we're going to do our best to reach this man for Christ. He welcomed us. I said before I left, let's pray. And you know what he did? He took his hat off immediately. I don't know that he understood the word prayer, but I guess he did. He felt something because he took his hat off, and we were so thrilled. It was just absolutely our joy. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers. I was listening to you talking about the New Jerusalem.
Yes.
And the other man mentioned about Billy Graham. I heard him in an interview himself say years ago that if he done a crusade in a city, and 10 years later, if he come back to that same city, and 20% of the people that come forward were still living for Jesus, he considered that a success. He was saying 80% of those people never followed through with their profession.
Well, it is at least that many, maybe even more. See, anytime in any church, we have people that come to our altar, and we don't ever see them again. We have people that come to our altar, they won't be back for 3 weeks. Those people didn't get saved. When you really give your life to Christ, you won't want to miss church. You will not want to miss church. And you'll only miss church when it's beyond your control. You may be sick and maybe back belly and both sides are in terrible pain. Back belly both sides. Maybe you remember hearing that before. I just don't believe in a Christian laying out of church. And I don't believe you have a right to call yourself a Christian if you don't go regular. Unless you have some reason you can't go. Somebody that's in a wheelchair, maybe even on in the bed, can't even get out. I understand that. We take it to them in that case. But if you can go, you need to be in the house of God. And you're right, sir.
Brother Chambers, I'm very leery of anybody that everybody, the world, and everybody brags on, because Luke says, beware when all men speak good of you, for so did your fathers to the prophets. They kill their prophets.
Well, I understand that, but have you been on the Facebook and the internet? There is a lot of people that really trashed Billy Graham all during the last days. Well, so he was not always well spoken of. And he made some mistakes. I would agree. He made some mistakes that I disagreed with. But when it comes to Jesus, he preached Jesus without failure. And I love it when a man talks about Jesus.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you, my friend. And God bless you. Now, call us quickly. I want to hear from you. I'd love to have one call after the other now, talking about the city of New Jerusalem. How many believe that that city is really real? That Jesus has really created a city that Bible calls New Jerusalem. I'd like to have 10 calls real quick to say, I believe it. The Bible said it, that settles it. Because it does, believe me. But I want to hear from you. How many really intend to go and live eternally in New Jerusalem? You're just sold out. You don't care about the world. You don't care about the world's riches. You don't care about the world's great successes. You don't care about being like the world. In fact, you don't want to be like the world. I don't want to look like the world. I'm not going to dress like this world. I'm not going to talk like this world. I'm not going to go to the places this world goes to. I mean, I've been very leery of myself ever since Mama died. Because I feel vulnerable out there in the world. I feel vulnerable in grocery stores. I feel vulnerable in places I go. I really do. Because the devil is out to get everybody he can. And I'm like Paul when he said, I keep under my body. This is my intent now. This is the challenge of my life. To keep under my body that after I have preached to others, I myself would not be a castaway. I got to make it. I got to make it. I got to make it, you know, in the blood. I said to somebody this morning at our breakfast, we have a breakfast once a month, and I invite you the first Saturday of every month. We have a 9 o'clock Saturday morning breakfast, and it's beautiful. It's wonderful. And Brother Marlon Clark is the man over it. And oh, what a wonderful little devotion he gave us this morning after this wonderful breakfast. And you're welcome next month. Next month, well, it's this month now, isn't it? This month, the last Saturday in this month, will be that breakfast again. And I give you a great big invitation. Now, while you're calling, I want you on the phone. While you're calling, I want everybody to listen to me. Internet, radio, Facebook, it doesn't matter. Listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. I want you to hear me. I need your help. I need your financial help. I'm on the last leg of paying all the debt of this building. This is a $4 million campus. $4 million. I mean, we've done it in a little over 20 years. God's been so good to us. The last payment on the mortgage has been made. I'm trying to get every other little thing. I need about a little over $20,000, okay? And I want you to be a part of that. Probably more like 30. I want you to be a part of that. I want everybody listening to me to be a part of it. That we can be out of debt before camp meeting in June. Totally, utterly, completely paid, done, over, all debt paid. And I will never intentionally go in debt again for anything having to do with God's church. Anything else of any great amount. I want you to know that I want you to help. I want to hear from every one of you. Now listen, we got people out there wealthy. You love this program. You know Brother Chambers stays right on target. I don't leave the confounds of this Bible. And I want to hear from you. I want you part of it. So call right now. If you don't have our address, call and get it. We'll send you this booklet, and you'll have the address, and there'll be a little envelope in there. You can send a gift. I want to get it paid. I really do. I'd like to do it this week. I really would. So what would you like to help me? I'll take everything I got. My wife and I have given all through these years. I would guess she and I together gave a third of what it has cost. For this campus, a third. That's not bad. I think that's about right. We did the same on Little Rock before they took that away from us. And now they've sold it to the state. And the state's taking it over, taking down the cross and taking down the steeple. Did you know that? Our old building on Little Rock. That's what the devil does, see? Take over everything God has, but by the grace of God, this is his. And we're preaching this word. And we'd love to have you tomorrow. I've got a message on my heart. I think you'll be blessed by my message tomorrow. And you ought to come. You got to get in a church that preaches Jesus. That helps people go to an altar and pray their way through to Calvary. And know they're born again. And know that they're a new creature. And know that they're saved by the blood of the crucified Lamb. Okay? Now, let's get back to the phone calls. I had to take a moment to tell you that I'm depending on you, every one of you out there. Don't brag on Joe Chambers and the good job I'm doing if you don't help me do the job yourself. It's part of your responsibility as much as mine. Jesus gets all the glory. He gets all the credit to start with, every bit of it. I don't want nobody else to have the credit but the precious Savior, our lovely Lord. All right, call us. I want to hear from you. Did you know? Listen to me. Let me say something that I hope will get to your mind. We could be in the new millennial in 7 years. We could be in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ in 7 years. That's how close we are. All we got to have is that rapture. Any day, he's coming. 7-year tribulation period. And then Jesus comes back to the earth. Somebody, I like this. Somebody said, if people say, will there be animals in heaven? And they asked the question, well, where did Jesus get that horse that he rides on when he comes to fight the battle of Armageddon? Well, there'll be horses in heaven. There'll be all kinds of animals. Everything God's made will be there, friend. And it'll be the rarest of animals, the rarest of anything. It will be a place of beauty, rare. All right, I want to hear from you. 10 minutes. 9 minutes, actually. I'd love to have a question from you. There's so much to be wonderful about. The bride will live in that city. The saved of the earth will live in the new heaven and the new earth. But the bride will live in that city. I got to say that again. Only the bride will live in the city. The rest of the saved of the earth who don't have the reward of brideship, They live in God's new heaven and God's new earth. And the city will be the capital of the whole kingdom of God on earth and in heaven together. It'll all blend, a new heaven and new earth, all bound together, all exciting together. What a place it's going to be. What a happiness we're going to have. Now, I want you to call 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want your call in these next minutes. Grab your phone. I'm waiting on you. Whatever your name is, what do you not understand about what I've said about the city? Do you understand the 12 levels? Do you understand that? That it's 1,500 miles high. And what would 1,500 miles high be for a city if all there is up there is just space? No, it's space with one level after the other with God's people. Oh, you see, we don't need automobiles and trains and airplanes. We can move in our glorified bodies just like Jesus moves in his glorified body. We can go anywhere we want to go with the very thought of our heart, with the very desire of our minds. It will be heaven on earth, heaven in the new heaven, heaven in New Jerusalem. And it'll all be a great place to enjoy together. Now, the saved of the earth, the Bible says, will come to visit the city. You earn the right to be in the city. Let's say Billy Graham is on the top story, the Amplifus section. And maybe he's got children who love the Lord and love Jesus and were saved, but they love the world too much. And they spent their time making money, and they spent their time doing the things that they enjoy instead of dedicating their whole being to Christ. And they never won any souls. They just kind of sit on a pew in the church and paid their tithes and lived a decent, holy life. And they're saved, and they go to heaven. Well, they'll live in the new heaven and the new earth. But then they can come over to see Brother Billy in his mansion in the city. The Bible said the doors of the city will be open forever. They'll never be closed, and there'll be no night there. So the gates of the city will be open, and the people of the new heaven and the new earth will enjoy the city. They will come to see its splendor. They will come to worship the great God in his temple. They'll come to visit the saints of God who are chosen members of the bride. And I'm telling you, the bride of Christ is the highest honor, the highest honor that any person can earn. There is nothing more wonderful. Now, I want to read a little bit to you. The book of Revelation, let me go to chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne and of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the streets of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the city were for the healing of the nations. Notice again, you have that word nations. These are those who do not live in the city. They may visit the city, and the river of life is flowing out of the city and flowing to all of the new heaven and the new earth. And on either side of this river that flows out of the city and flows to all the nations of the earth, there is the tree of life. And the tree of life is right there on either side of the river of life, and it bears 12 manner of fruit. Let me read that again. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in the midst of his servants, and they shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. There shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, and of the moon. For the Lord God lighteth them, giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You're talking about heaven on earth, well, new earth, heaven, the new earth, and the new heavens, and the new city. Oh, church, listen to me. Now, remember, I tell you, I love to look at those names of the different stones that decorate the different levels of the city. It names them. I mean, that's how important all of this is because he wants you to understand. It's all beautiful. It's all beautiful. And the light in the wall of the city, 12 foundations, and in them, the names of all the apostles of the Lamb. And he goes on to name the city. The city lieth four square. He measured the walls of the city, told us what they were, 140 furlongs. The building of the walls was jasper. This is what the book says, the Bible, the holy book. Billy Graham used to hold up the Bible and said, the word says. I'm here to say today, the word says. The word says. My friend, you can be there by the blood of the Lamb. Now think about it. Think about what you could do right now. Let's deal with it right from our heart. I'm not saved, you may say. Or I think I'm saved, but I'm really not sure. I've been a member of the church all my life. I've been baptized. Maybe I go to Catholic. Maybe I go to Presbyterian. Maybe I go to Pentecostal. Whatever. You may be a Buddhist or a member of some other religion. Right now, today, while I'm talking, you can surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You got to accept that he was crucified for your sins. There's nothing else on the face of God's earth that can wash away sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. You can hate sin. You can even repent of sin. You can either reject sin. But if you don't trust in the blood, you're still not saved. You've got to believe the blood of Jesus to wash you from your sins. And you got to claim that blood of Jesus washing you from your sins. And along with him washing you from your sins, or you believe in him to wash you, you've got to ask him to forgive you of your sins. You've got to repent of them. That means you're sorry for them. That means you're turning from them. That means you want no more to do with them. If you were a fornicator, you quit fornicating. If you're an adulteress, you quit living in adultery. If you're homosexual, you quit being a sodomite. If you're a lesbian, you quit being a lesbian. If you're a liar, you quit being a liar. You quit sin. You say, I can't quit sin. Well, if you are willing to let him help you, he will help you quit sin. The blood of Jesus will wash you and sanctify you and make such a new creature out of you that you will be through with sin. And you'll be glad to be through with sin because sin is a hateful thing. Sin is an ugly thing. Do you hear me? Sin is an ugly thing. And when you get through with sin, it will be a marvelous moment. I'm here to tell you. And you can be saved right now. I want to help somebody be saved. Right now, I want you to come to Christ. Say with me, I repent of my sins. Say it with all your heart. You got to mean it. I'm tired of them. I'm through with them. I'm turning from them. I repent of my sins. And right now, I claim the person of Jesus Christ as my Savior, my sacrifice. I claim his blood to wash me from my sins. Right now, wash me from my sins. And I surrender my life to you, Christ, turning from my sins, trusting in the blood, I surrender to you. I'm ready to live a godly life. I'm ready to live by the Bible. You go get you a Bible. King James Version is my strong suggestion. And you get in this Bible and you start going to a good church that's full of the Holy Spirit where the Word of God's preached. And you live for Christ with all your heart. Now, I'm going to believe you to do that right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Help that person do it, Father. Get on your knees and call on the Lord. Now, God bless you. I love you. You've been good. You've been good to listen. I thank you for listening. You're important to this preacher. You really are important to this preacher. I want to be a blessing to you. I want you to serve Christ. God bless you. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. I want you to serve Christ with all of your heart. He loves you and you can love him, okay? You can love him and you will enjoy loving him. Well, I'm supposed to have some music here. I hope it's coming. Come on. Yeah, there we go. God bless you.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. But don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. Talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valleys of those trials and tears.